Good morning, everybody. People that are at home listening to this sermon, we're going through this coronavirus scare and problem across the nation, around the world, and restaurants closed down, the church can't meet, so I'm thinking I'll preach and minister, and I'm hoping everybody will be blessed. We need to be praying for each other, pray for our nation, pray for our president, pray for the task force that are all working out there to try to overcome this. Pray that people will be willing to take the right steps. Pray that people will not panic. Pray that people will keep a level mind. And pray that people will come to know Jesus Christ in all this. That's what I'm praying. And let's pray for each other. Let's keep encouraging each other in these days. And this morning, I'm preaching from the book of Job, preaching on a question I want us to take into very serious consideration, especially in this time of the coronavirus scare. It's a good opportunity for this. I want us to truly ask ourselves, ask yourself, why do I care about God? Why do you care about God? Now, there are reasons for caring about your health, and there are reasons for caring about your finances. There are reasons for caring about your friends and your family. Same goes for God. And as a Christian, you should care about honoring and serving the Lord. You should care about doing so when there's no virus. You should care about it when there is a virus. Always. But the important thrust is why. Why do you even care about God? Why do you care about honoring and serving Him? God wants our relationship, your relationship, He wants my relationship with Him to be caring, honoring service. But, and this is so important, He wants it from pure motives. He wants your motives to be the manifestation of the Spirit in every single sense. Now, when it came to Job, the context is shortly after Noah and his family started repopulating the world. Job was a respected man. We're told that he was the greatest man in all the East. He had a large family, lots of sons, lots of daughters. He was a rich man. He had a vast amount of possessions. But the main relationship that we have with him is boiled down to this, and this is what I want us to think about. We are told that he feared God and he shunned evil. He honored God. He served God. He cared about God. He loved God in faith. He was known for all this. And as Christians, we relate to that in our own lives. Now, that's the picture. So prepare your heart for this sermon in this time. Why do you care about God? That's the theme. I want to pray. Father, thank you so much for all of us. Please protect us. Please keep us from panicking. And also, please keep us wise. Help us to learn from this sermon your truths, to live them. That's what we want. In Jesus' name, amen. So you care about God. You say you honor and serve Him whether there's a coronavirus or not. But like researchers looking at the virus under a microscope, think about that. The question of why you serve God should also be examined. And so like looking under a microscope, for example, what we want to see, what you want to see, is what God wants to see. He wants your motives to be right. He does not want honoring and serving Him because of selfish motives. When you look into the microscope, selfish motives look like trying to earn God's favor, trying to gain blessings, trying to obtain rewards. Now, if you see those, then you see a virus infecting the motive that God wants. So what does God want to see? He wants you to be honoring and serving Him because of love. So search your heart to expose your motives. We're looking for the motive of love. Godly Job was going along in life. He was doing fine as a wealthy man. One day, Satan went before the Lord. Satan, evidently, this is how the operation works in the spiritual realm, also somewhat in the physical realm. Satan said that he had been roaming throughout the earth. So one day he went before the Lord, and the Lord asked if Satan had noticed Job. And God pointed out Job's decency and uprightness, and that he feared God, that he shunned evil. And God said there was no one on earth like Job. Well, Satan noticed the same things. But Satan also had in mind Job's motives, and that's the issue. Why do you care about God? Satan knew Job honored and served the Lord, but he accused Job of not doing so out of love, but out of selfish motives. Satan asked God, does Job fear you for no reason? It would be like me asking you, do you serve God for no reason other than what you think you're going to get in your benefits, for a guarantee to keep those benefits? Is that why you serve Him? I mean, you have your reasons, but what does the microscope reveal? Satan thought he knew Job's true reasons. And so Satan pointed out that God had put a hedge of protection and blessing around Job. God protected Job's household, protected everything he owned. God blessed the work of Job's hand. And Satan thought those were the real reasons for why Job honored and served God. because Job's life was blessed by God. And Satan knows human nature, and he knows his own nature. It's how he fell, and it's how he got Adam and Eve to fall into sin. And he knows that we can be tempted to do things out of selfishness, even persuaded to do things out of selfishness. He knows we have a selfishness nature, and he knows selfishness and sin feed off each other. Satan thought he could prove this about Job, that if God turned the tables of blessing and he struck everything Job owned, Job would manifest his true intentions and blaspheme God by speaking evil things against him. But God knew Job had the correct reasons for serving and honoring him, and that's what we're looking for. So God decided to expose Job's faithfulness to show Satan that it was from selfless devotion, not from Satan's accusation of selfish promotion. So keep thinking. Am I honoring and serving God out of selfless devotion or from selfish promotion? God wanted to show that Job's godliness was because of love and faith, and that's the right motive. Love and faith. As a Christian, if your motives for honoring and serving God in the things of life were to be questioned, what would your answer be? Your motive should be out of love for God and faith in Him. God is your Creator. He's perfect in every way. And in your relationship with Him in history, He's made you into His child through the grueling sacrifice of His own Son. He's worthy of love no matter what. Don't suddenly decide to serve and honor Him with your life because you're afraid of getting sick, like with the coronavirus. Don't quit serving and honoring Him because of anything. No reason. What God wants is for all of us to search our hearts on this, to become more in tune with the whole understanding I'm preaching about. I think we really need to pray about this. God wants honesty with what you see under the microscope. And there's a particular area to look for. Let's make this really tangible. Look to see if you're doing things, and I'm talking about friendly things, good things, ministry things to try to earn God's favor, like you have a quid pro quo, you know, like you only do things to gain blessings, like if you're going to get something, like you're trying to get points to obtain rewards. Now, those are the things of trying to use God. It's trying to use gifts of the Spirit, trying to use life in Christ as a way to augment self-love. It's a kind of love that you would have for God that would be coming from what you can get by applying tactics of honor and service. And those are the things Satan is looking for under the microscope. And it's what Satan accused Job of. And if that's you, you're not honoring and serving God purely out of selfless love and devotion. And he wants the love. He wants to present you to himself, and he wants you to present yourself to him as a living sacrifice, as living worship and love. That's what he wants to see presented to himself. Romans 12:1 tells you to present your body as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God as your spiritual service of worship. Well, notice how it's God who gets the reward. I mean, that's what happens when you're allowing Christ to manifest his life through you. He recreated you for that purpose, to manifest his life. And he wants you to understand that you're acting like his gift to himself by willingly being living worship to him. You know, he doesn't want you worshiping and then thinking worship is your business deal that you're going to do to try to get favor from him. No, you worship because he's God and you love him. This is really an important truth, and sometimes it's made doubly manifest through suffering. Suffering tests love. That's what we're talking about. The Moravian missionaries had a good way of expressing the desire to bless the Lord for his suffering rather than seek rewards as payback for suffering. They have a good lesson. When they would go out to give their lives to spread the gospel, knowing they would suffer, knowing they would never come back, in love and faith, they would say this: may the Lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering. They did not say, may I receive rewards for what I'm doing or for what I'm going to do. No. But Satan's accusations against us is that nobody really suffers to only have Christ receive the reward of his suffering for them on the cross. Well, that's because Satan doesn't even remotely understand love for God. He does not understand our faith either. He does not understand life in the Spirit. Satan hates God, he hates you, and he loves hatred. Hatred is what he loves. So he wants you to have misplaced love, he wants you to have misplaced faith. And with Job, Satan wanted to prove that Job lacked true love for God and faith in him too. So this gets me to an expectation we need to have. Ephesians explains that the world is controlled by Satan. calls the unsaved atmosphere the domain of darkness. Satan deceives the world, and Satan uses the world to try to deceive you. Now think of the unsaved world as being full of repeaters of the lies of Satan. They repeat it. The mouth of Satan is preaching at you through people, through the world every day. And one of the sermons they preach is that God is unjust and unloving. I mean, this is a common accusation against God. They try to get you thinking God's not worthy of honor, he's not worthy of service. And the world tries to get you onto this when you're at your weakest, especially when you have heartbreaking experiences. And with Job, God wanted to reveal the reality that he knew was in Job's heart the whole time, all along, that Job honored and served out of love and faith. So God told Satan, everything Job owns is in your power, but you can't lay a finger on Job himself. Well, the next thing we know, someone came to Job and he told him some of his animals were stolen and the servants there were killed by the thieves. While that messenger was speaking, another one came and explained that fire burned up more of Job's livestock and more servants were killed. And while that messenger was speaking, another one came and said raiders stole Job's camels and killed the servants there too. And while that messenger was speaking, another one came and explained that Job's sons and daughters were celebrating at the oldest son's house, and then a strong wind came and it made the roof collapse. And all of Job's children were killed. All of it was Satan's work of trying to make Job think God's unjust, God is unloving, he's not worthy of honoring and serving. Satan heaped tragic dramas of heartbreaking experience of suffering on Job. Job lost everything dear to him except his wife, except his own life. And he had lived his life as an upright man, a godly man who feared God. He shunned evil. Now he's seeing his life as being treated by God like he's the chief of sinners. And just because you go through horrible things, by the way, doesn't mean that God is doing it because he sees you as a horrible sinner. He sees Christ in you as your righteousness, as your only hope of glory. He knows we're all sinners, but he also knows what we are in his son Jesus. But God is also looking to see how you react to things. And when Job heard all the bad news, it says Job fell to the ground in worship, and he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart." Well, what Job meant is, I came into this world with nothing, I'm going to leave with nothing. And he said, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." That's amazing. And then it says, "In everything, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing." So the Lord asked Satan if he noticed Job now that Job had said that. God pointed out that Job still had integrity, even though Satan incited God against Job to ruin him without cause. But Satan held to his own false beliefs. And he accused Job of only reacting the way he did because of selfish reasons, not for love for God. And Satan said, "Of course, all that a man has, he'll give for his life. However, put forth your hand and touch his body, and he'll blaspheme you by speaking evil things against you." Well, but God continued to show that Job's true heart was what was really being seen this whole time. And so the next thing God did was give Satan power over Job's body. But he told Satan he must spare Job's life and whatever evil Satan was going to do. So Satan afflicted Job with sores. They were boils from the soles of the bottom of his feet to the very top of his head, these sores. Job's wife, they were so bad. Job's wife said to Job, "Do you still hold on to your integrity? Blaspheme God by speaking evil things against him and die." Well, this is interesting. The microscope shows what was in the heart of Job's wife, see? She was siding with the temptations of Satan. Anyone who says to blaspheme God by speaking evil things against God and die is siding with Satan. And Job told her, "You're foolish." And Job said, "Shall we accept good from God and not accept adversity?" Well, that statement is honoring and serving God out of love. Shall we accept good from God and not accept adversity? Now, the microscope is bringing more things into sharper focus. Job was not trying to earn God's favor. He wasn't trying to gain blessings. He wasn't trying to obtain rewards. Job did not accept adversity because he was considering it as a part of an investment to get more things for himself. That's not why he accepted it. He accepted adversity because Job accepted God's will for him no matter what. And it's love for God. Job loved God and his will more than himself and his own will, and that requires love. Satan had no idea this could exist. If you have no idea this could exist, then this is the lesson for you. The theme of this sermon is that question: why do you care about God? Why? I mean, the lesson's answer is to honor and serve him because of love. We are told that in all these things, Job did not sin with his lips. He spoke the truth because it was love and faith. And so I want to spend some time on this. When it comes to continuance, yours, mine, even in hard times, God expects you to serve him by the Spirit no matter what. Even when you're confused, he wants you to focus on loving him and faith in him, even when you're hurting. You're not always going to be able to figure out why bad things are happening to you. Job and his friends started thinking about all this horrible stuff happening to Job. They thought Job must have done something wrong. They kept analyzing the things he was going through to figure out what he did that caused it. But they didn't know that it was happening to Job because of doing nothing wrong. Now, that's a very huge revelation. All happened to Job because he had done nothing wrong, not because he had done something wrong. God was showing Satan that Satan was wrong. God was revealing that Job's love and faith and devotion was out of selfless reasons. God understands everything. But Job and his friends kept trying to figure out what they did not understand. They kept trying to come up with the answers. But they only came up with wrong ideas, chapter after chapter of this, trying to figure out what in the world happened. And here's the thing. While Job was going through the suffering, he never got an answer for why it was happening. But in 13:15, we read that Job said, "Even if God slays me, I will hope in him." Well, there's nothing that gets you to that point other than love and faith. And so, if your scrutiny of yourself is revealing selfishness, don't break the microscope. Don't quarantine yourself away from everyone. What God is doing is working by his Spirit. He's laying your old motivations out. He's slaying your old motivations so that your hope in him is stripped down to simply love and faith. And his lesson for you is always to get on track. It's not for you to condemn yourself. Now, through Job's experience, we see that he had a prophetic insight in his everlasting life through the Redeemer, Christ Jesus. He said in 19:25-27, "I know my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another." Well, the ultimate reward for you, for every single one of God's covenant people, is everlasting life with the Creator through Christ Jesus. The Redeemer that Job prophetically looked forward to came 2,000 years later. He came and died to redeem sinners. Then he resurrected to bring everlasting life. For Job and all of us, Jesus, our Redeemer, lives. Hebrews 11:39-40 with 12:22-24 explains, "Every one of God's covenant people through history are made perfect in Christ the Redeemer. All the spirits of the righteous all the way through the past have been made perfect in him, in Jesus." Well, now Job is experiencing the ultimate blessing through Christ Jesus. But Job never had to work for it. And this is the thing. He attained it by grace through faith in his love for God. And that's what you get in Christ, the everlasting blessing of wonderful resurrection life that is beyond anything you can imagine, anything. And later, God spoke to Job. God told Job that he's sovereign, has a perfect reason for everything. The book of Job was recorded because Job recounted his experience. Job even explained that he realized he had been speculating and questioning why God was doing what had happened. Job finally said, after God gave him lessons on his power and sovereignty, he said, I, Job, know that you, God, can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. I have declared that which I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. I will ask you and you instruct me. I will show how sorry I am. Well, let's embrace the lesson. Like Job, you may not understand why you suffer, but like Job, trust your suffering to God in worship and humility and love. Like Job, walk by faith and not by sight through the ordeal. I mean, even though confused and questioning and hurting, Job kept walking the walk because of love. He didn't know what to expect. He was not expecting to receive compensation. He was not expecting to be healed and get back on his feet. We don't get that anywhere. In early in 7:3, we see that Job had already experienced months of suffering. No telling how long the whole ordeal lasted, but that we know there were months of it. Well, ultimately, God did heal Job, and the Lord restored the fortune and all the possessions of Job. He doubled them. Job had 7 more sons, 3 more daughters. He lived an additional 140 years. He saw his grandchildren over the next 4 generations, it says. But Job never expected any of it. He never knew it was going to happen through the months and months and months of losing everything and being covered with boils all over his body. God had proven his point to Satan. He'd proven his point to all who need to see this lesson. The lesson is honor and serve God because of the right motive, selfless love of God and faith. Satan was wrong then. He's wrong now. You are not bound to serving God and honoring him by trying to earn his favor, gain blessings, and obtain rewards. You are free. And when you're in your freedom, you're bound to love. So manifest it in faith. You know, Job's life shows that what the devil means for evil, God uses for good. Satan was defeated again because he does not understand selfless love, which seeks to honor and serve the Lord, even if it means losing everything and getting nothing in return but everlasting life with God. We are supposed to understand that. And so as you peer into your heart, you're looking for why you care about God, why you care about honoring, serving him. Scripture tells you that in Christ, you love because he first loved you. So focus on him first loving you. Focus on him. Let your honor and service come as fruits of the Spirit, and because of him and his work, present your body as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to him as your spiritual service of worship. Praise the Lord's name no matter what. I mean, these days of the coronavirus scare are a good time to search our hearts on all of this, but we should always do that. If you have strayed off course, pray. Just pray to the Lord. Say, I know that you, God, can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. I have declared that which I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. I will ask you, and you instruct me. I will show how sorry I am. See? Now go forward in love for God, just like Job, knowing that your Redeemer lives. Live loving in faith, knowing that at the last you will stand, that after you have been destroyed, you shall see God forever because of what he has done in saving you. Amen? So let's keep this in mind as these times are going on right now. Keep this in mind as you witness to other people that you have the life of Christ. Encourage one another. Encourage people in your family. Encourage those around you. Encourage people with the truths of God. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you continue to minister to us through the Word, through your Scripture, and that we can have some semblance of fellowship, even if it's electronic or in many different ways in these times. Protect the people that are having preconditions and that are older. Protect all of us. We live for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.